Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. Speaking of Don and Mike, by the way, they'll be on at 7 p.m. tonight. One hope. Anyway, I actually got a call from the rep for their program. Apparently, she didn't say what it was, but they're overnighting some special package to us from Don and Mike.
Oh.
I don't know what it is. So there you go. So on Monday, so Donna, her name is Sue. She called me this morning. She's like, Don and Mike have a special surprise for you. They're sending it in the mail.
Is it for the station or for a show?
I don't know. I do not know. So I hope that has. Yes. 503-733-2970. We're here with Tim Riley from the Ministry of Truth. We'll go to him momentarily. Then we'll get some of these calls probably inside that segment. Scott Daly's going to be here to talk about World Trade Center. We had the Snakes on an MF and Pain announcement. Top five rock and roll screams. And we never did get Scotty anything for his birthday. We give him the gift of love. What?
Gift legal.
You're listening to KCMD AM Portland.
Yeah, I knew this was going to happen because you're like, we'll make it a huge all-week thing where we'll find them all kinds of stuff. And we're still...
Meryl, there's always 41.
The best
part
was...
We've gotten him nothing.
Because the show's almost... The week is almost over. It's 2 o'clock. We only got an hour left for this week. The best part, by the way, was somehow today's show has just zipped by, as it often does. And I said, is it already 2 o'clock? And Scotty, as he was walking by me in the hallway, goes... Goes, yep, you'll be 40 before you know it. And he just sort of sadly walked out the door. All right, we'll get these calls inside this news segment, which we begin now as we go to Tim Riley's Ministry of Truth.
From high atop the bottom of the Coy Tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the Ministry of Truth. Tim Riley reporting. Well, one good thing. You can still buy food inside the concession stands at the airport after you go through the check-in line and bring that food with you onto the plane.
Well, that is good. And especially, I will say this, so Bill doesn't think that I'm completely cynical about this. That is actually good at PDX because, of course, there's that law, which I believe they only have here. I've never seen that law anywhere else, where items at the Portland International Airport may not be priced at a higher price than they would be in the city. So they're not allowed to screw you at the register at the airport, which is good.
That is a good thing.
All right.
Oh, I see we have something from New Orleans.
Oh, I'm sorry.
New Orleans.
Scotty has created a New Orleans
sound. I promised Scotty I would do this in celebration of his 40th birthday.
Scotty has created any number of he's apparently I'm looking at the screen now. Scotty's apparently created a sound effect for whenever I talk about my house, my car, the furniture on my lawn, or anything else relating to my white trash lifestyle.
So
we'll get to that, and then we'll get to Casey and Jeff here in a second. Let's see. This is what? A New Orleans watch?
It is.
Or a New Orleans sounder?
A New Orleans policeman who took off after Hurricane Katrina pled guilty today in a vehicle theft case.
You can't do that.
36-year-old Willie Earl Bickham Jr.
Willie Earl Bickham.
Jr.
Jr. I'm sorry.
Jr. His son's probably the third. Was driving a stolen
Willie
pickup.
Earl Bickham the third. I want to have a band called that.
He was driving a stolen pick-em-up truck that was chased to Sewell Cadillac Chevrolet in New Orleans.
Willie Earl Bickham the third.
Bickham Jr. was arrested in Houston.
A Bickham-up truck.
With a black 2005 Chevrolet Silverado. That was one of about 200 vehicles looted from the dealership. Authorities say Bickham Jr. pled guilty to interstate transportation.
Bickham, I hardly knew him.
Stolen vehicle. Sentencing is scheduled November 22nd. He faces a maximum of 10 years in prison and a fine of up to $250,000. Bickham Jr. resigned from the New Orleans force shortly after Katrina because officials say he deserted following the August 29th storm.
Could that be
Scotty's own commode?
I don't want to know where he got the toilet sound from. We'll get Casey in a second. Hello, Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
This airport security is driving me nuts. We went to New York here 3 weeks ago.
The best part about this call is you were ready. There was no greeting, no hello, no thanks for the show, no hey, I've been on hold for a while. You were ready. You left right in there with both feet.
All right, why do you want to waste time and do the... You know, how you doing, Tom? Do you care? I mean, why do we want to wade through that, really? Get to it.
We don't.
So you see.
You're pretty snotty. Let's
get... Well, I'm disgruntled, I guess you could say.
Are you disgruntled at us, sir?
No, I'm disgruntled at the airline
okay.
and all that.
Because my finger's on this phone sound effect.
Let's get to the meat of these potatoes.
So we go through the airport security there at Portland, and, you know, they take my shoes. And
they take my shoes.
They get on the airplane and whatnot.
They have taken my shoes.
And then we get to New York.
Yes.
And we get to our room and whatever. And everywhere you want to go, you have to go through a metal detector. Uh-huh. We go to the Statue of Liberty. They search you before you get on the boat to go to the Statue of Liberty. Then, in order to go in the Statue of Liberty, they send you through the cattle line there. And then there's a big sign. They send you into a tent that says, no photography beyond this point. And it's the security checkpoint to go into the Statue of Liberty.
Yes, we don't want anybody anywhere knowing what the Statue of Liberty looks like.
So you go in, and you have to, like, stand in this thing that has, like, an air compressor in it.
Yeah.
And it systematically blows air at your clothes to, like, loosen any whatever that might be in there. Who knows why they do that?
Marilyn Monroe type of thing.
And they do the wand, and then they do walk through the metal detector thing, and then the wand. So, you know, everywhere you go... It's no knives, no drinks. I mean, they don't want you to have anything, chapstick, nothing, you know, going into the muscle.
This is all done for
you.
This is done for your protection, sir.
Well, of course.
Strength through unity.
Leaving New York.
Unity through faith. Yes.
At lovely JFK, they completely take apart our bag. Now, it's our own darn fault that we bought metal bookmarks at the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Oh, see, that's bad because they know you read. You'll be first on the list of vanished.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, metal key rings from the Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island, Empire State Building, and whatever. They send you through to go in the Empire State Building. You know, it's like you're getting on an airplane there again. They want your shoes. You know, we empty your bag on the table, take all your change out of your pocket everywhere you go, and it just makes you... I mean, don't carry change if you're going out of the town.
You've been preparing this rant for quite a long time, have you? This is all coming out just like flowing out like sweet cream.
Lars wouldn't just let you do this.
Even more so obnoxious. You can't even bring your car keys with you because you might have a nail file or a pocket knife on them.
Yes, I know.
I was reading the paper this morning. It said items that were prohibited from the flight in Great Britain.
Yeah.
Laptop computers, which some people take on the airplane for their sanity, and, you know, thank you for shutting your kid up for 4 hours.
Yes.
iPods, wristwatch. Okay,
yes.
What moron at the TSA who watched Speed and saw that you can, you know, use a gold watch to blow up something with said, hey, let's not have wristwatches the airplane.
Would you like
if you have a wristwatch on, if I can't take a wristwatch into the airport, then they need to not complain if I'm late for the flight.
It's true. Would you like a 9 to noon talk show, sir?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. There you go.
Sneaky bastard.
What is this? Scotty? Is this the caller? Oh, this is the with the rebuttal. Scotty was urging me to play this caller thing.
No.
All right. Well, there you go. All right. It's 5:00. This is a whole folder full of inane sound effects here. All right. It's 503-733. What is this?
My pants just ripped like a minute ago after I got on the phone with you.
All right. Scotty has too much free time on his hands. Casey, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
I don't know how to follow that up.
Well, what are you going to do? All right.
A couple of things. One, your comments earlier about going through the metal detector at the airport wearing darn near nothing.
Yes.
There's a video. I'm sure Sarah's all attentive with her computer and everything. If she does a Google search, I think it's under the videos, like top 100. There's a video of a young lady going through the security checkpoint. And I didn't have my headphones plugged in, but the visible end is enough. And essentially, she doesn't quite bear all, but it's quite entertaining.
I don't understand what we're talking about. This is a video of a woman going through security, and she's...
Security in basically bra and underwear.
Oh, well, that's pretty great.
And the reaction, yeah. And so I know Sarah's typing away her keyboard right now. The other thing...
Because Sarah can't wait to see other women nude. Sarah can't wait to look at the bosoms of other women.
Because I look out for you, Rick.
Well, thank
you. And the other listeners.
I appreciate it.
The other thing, too, is anytime you're going on an airplane,
yeah.
George Carlin's airline announcement.
Oh, no. It's
comedy bit ever.
It's true. And there's a great, I think it's Jammin' in New York, where he does a great bit about airport security, too. So,
yeah.
All right. Thank you, Casey.
Like, list of items you legal. Well, this is old. I mean, this is way before all the.
It's the list of items you could take on.
You could legally take on an airplane, include, like, chainsaw.
Well, look, here's the.
You know, hatchet.
Look, here's the thing, is that, I mean. I hate to be given, I'm giving people ideas, but I mean, Sarah's pointing out this Sam Jackson poster that's going around the net, the liquids on a plane poster, because now you can't take any liquids on. Here's the thing. If a guy wants to do some serious damage to you, he'll find a way to do it.
Absolutely.
You know what? I'm wearing a bunch of things right now that I could probably kill somebody with if I really needed to. I'm wearing a belt. I got a bunch of metal jewelry. I got a watch. You know, I got a bunch of ballpoint pens. Any one of those things I could do some serious gouging with before they stopped me. So,
right.
I mean, we really are at the point where they're just, again, we're going to be, you know, we're going to be stripped nude and just frozen in saran wrap, like Sigourney Weaver in Aliens. You know what I mean?
Wouldn't that make for an entertaining flight?
It's true. All right, we have to go now, sir.
All right, man.
There you go. Casey, thank you. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
Guess who died?
Okay, now, wait a minute. Now, we have to, is this the corpse watch? The snuff watch? Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to roll the snuff watch.
Yes.
And then we're going to bring on some callers and we're going to see if anybody knows who this is. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your snuff watch for Friday on the Rick Emerson Radio Show.
Okay, so let me generally reflect on his life without saying who he was.
Well,
and then we can let people guess.
Well, see, because here's the thing. But if you do that, no one will ever get it.
Okay.
No one will ever get it. I think it's bad. You want to just give his name from the very beginning, and we'll take like three calls in a row and see if anybody knows who it is.
Mike Douglas.
All right, here's the number. It's 503-733-2970. 503. I should have actually had these callers, but, well, okay, I think these people are actually calling. All right, so we've got three.
Well, this will cheer people up instead of talking about this airline business.
All right, hold on. Let's just take these callers here in no particular order. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Do you know who Mike Douglas is?
Yes, I do.
All right, hold on a second. Wait, is this George?
No, this is Alan.
All right, are you sure about that?
Yes.
All right, hold on. Rick Emerson Show, do you know who Mike Douglas is?
Yes, I do.
All right, hold on. Rick Emerson Show, do you know who Mike Douglas is?
I do not.
All right, and... Rick Emerson Show, do you know who Mike Douglas is?
Of course I do.
Really? Three out of four. Okay, quick, who is Mike Douglas?
Mike Douglas was a talk show host.
Okay.
Correct.
Well spotted, sir. Hold on a second. Hello, line two, hello?
Yeah.
Yes, did you know that as well?
Yes, I did. He used to be up against Merv Griffin, didn't he?
Well spotted. And finally, Alan, did you know that Mike Douglas was a talk show host?
Absolutely. He was on when Ulf got back in the late 60s, early 70s.
I predicted to Tim that people, if they knew Mike Douglas at all, would be because he legendarily did a week's worth of programs in which he was joined by John Lennon and Yoko Ono.
That is true.
That's kind of what everybody knows. And finally, who is this, sir? You did not know Mike Douglas?
I get now hearing about it. I've heard the name before, but...
All right. That's who he was. He was a television talk show host that he had his greatest fame when John Lennon and Yoko joined him for a week on his program. Thank you to all of you. All right, and they're gone. All right, there you go. All right, Mike Douglas, dead.
81.
81.
He's dead. No longer with us.
Why else should we care about him, Tim Riley?
Well, the Mike Douglas Show featured, well, all kinds of guests, including Bobby Darin, Mama Cass when she was alive, as well as Liberace, Duke Ellington, of course, John and Yoko, the most famous of all. He was born in Chicago in 1925. His program originated in Cleveland in 1961, putting in syndication in 1963. And this program originated from Philadelphia for some ridiculous reason. It was there for a long time. It went off the air in 1982, and it lasted some 13 years.
Well, here's the thing is, I figured he was already dead. I had no idea that this is a frequent refrain on this program. I had no idea Mike Douglas was even still alive.
He did 6,000 syndicated programs, and most of them, get this, were 90 minutes long, and that's 5 days a week, so that's a lot. And the show was syndicated in 230 cities.
All right, there you go. Mike Douglas, dead, dead, dead. You can rent present that, by the way, at Movie Madness. You go to Mike Clark's Movie Madness, which is on 41st and Belmont, which I'm not being paid to plug. That's a cool place. You can go there. You can rent that entire week's worth of DVDs showing John and Yoko on there. It's pretty great. I will tell you this. If you watch any Beatles documentary, any John Lennon documentary, like about 40% of the footage you see of John Lennon being interviewed is taken from that week on Mike Douglas. Last caller makes me mad. He can go choke on a rotten banana, says this email. Rick, that last caller who complains about airport security makes me mad. What a jerk he is upset about. Okay, this is like written by E.E. Cummings. What a jerk. And then one, I guess I'm inferring there's a comma here. What a jerk. Semicolon. He is upset about how the airport, two words, is making him go through all this checking. This, look at the, how large this type is. This is in like 40-point type. Well,
gosh,
ask
big jerk.
And then a lot of it is in all caps. Well, ask him if he would rather be dead or injured from my bomb. No period. Tell him to drive a damn, D-A-M, car then, stupid idiot. this is the best
you can expect
ever.
An audition tape from them by the time you get off the air at the front desk.
See, son of a bitch, you're doing that again. You're instigating. Tim Riley.
I'm just bringing a few points to light.
Tell him to call someone who cares about his pity party at the... Do people really say that? Pity party at the airport. And then, in type so big it's taking up like a third of the screen, we don't care, gosh, big jerk. It's like angry email refrigerator poetry. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Oh, by the way, Kristen says, Scotty, don't feel bad. I've known Rick a lot longer than you, and he didn't get me anything for my 40th birthday.
Oh.
Okay. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, I can't wait for my 40th birthday 3 years from now.
Yes.
From the nation's heartland, the Indiana mystery of how an octopus got into the Ohio River has been solved. Apparently, Zachary Trent said he put the octopus into the water as part of a short film he was making. The Jeffersonville fisherman found the dead octopus when he was fishing on Monday. The frozen invertebrate had been brought from local seafood company, and it was to be used in a movie. Well, the Illinois State Fair can now unofficially begin. The butter cow is finished. The cow is made of butter, mounted on wood, and a wire frame. It's one of the biggest attractions to the Illinois State Fair. Lindsay Lohan has reached another milestone in her celebrity career, her very first stalker. She has received some unwelcome attention from a man who has been sending her letters asking to meet her and signing them with his name and phone number.
It seems really unlikely this is her first stalker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, I can't, I mean, if you achieve any level of, I mean, Rebecca Schaefer had a stalker. Nobody even really knew who she was.
Well, she's looking forward to visiting the troops in Iraq.
Okay.
I've been trying to go with Iraq with Hillary Clinton for a long time. We've been trying to work it out, but it does seem a bit dangerous.
This is totally one of those, let me distract you from the fact that I've been... You know, she was evicted from the Chateau Marmont. Did we all hear that this morning?
Yes.
Oh, I thought that she was warned.
No, if you listen to the Stephanie Miller show this morning, she was doing Tinsel Talk. And, well, Stephanie Miller, maybe you're wrong. Stephanie Miller on her show this morning, which is airs on this very fine radio station from 6 to 9 a.m. Weekdays. Stephanie Miller this morning in the Tinsel Talk segment was claiming that Lindsay Lohan was evicted. And to get evicted from the Chateau Marmont takes some work. Seeing as how people just sit around and do nothing but inject heroin.
People are evicted in body bags.
I was just going to say, most people aren't evicted. They're just taken out on a stretcher. So there you go. Let's see. What are we? What is this? Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. You ready to gouge out your mind's eye?
Sure. That's sort of a Bunny Yeager response there. Sure.
I'm about Scotty J's age, and when I was very young, my mom and my aunt got a copy of Playgirl magazine. They were giggling maniacally in the front seat of the car, and I looked over the back seat, and sure enough, it was a Playgirl, and it was Michael Douglas.
Ah!
Ford nude.
No.
Yes, sir.
Michael Douglas was nude?
Absolutely. I'm sure of it. I mean, now, I was pretty young.
Now, wait, when we're saying Michael Douglas here, we're not talking about...
The talk show host had just died.
We're talking about Mike Douglas. Yeah, we're talking about Mike Douglas, talk show host?
Yes.
No, I don't believe it. That'd be like Merv Griffin nude or something.
Are you sure?
I
think it's an urban legend.
Memory plays tricks on one's mind, sir. Or the age, rather.
Could be, but I'm sure. I remember because they made a huge deal out of it when they got the magazine. I remember him saying, no.
But he was in the all. He was tackle out. He was.
Yes. Nothing but what God gave him.
Like airport security.
I thought only Burt Reynolds did that. I thought Burt Reynolds was the old. Cause now, didn't Burt Reynolds pose nude?
You got me there.
In Playgirl?
Call your mom and ask her.
might have it. You shut your mouth about my mom. What are you trying to say?
I got to go. I got to get back to work.
Okay. There you go. Greg wants in on my. Listen to what it says on the screen. Greg wants in on Mike Douglas nude.
I think this guy's a little confused. It was not Mike Douglas. It was John Davidson.
That's incredible?
Yes.
John Davidson posed nude?
Yes.
That's like swapping out. That's like swapping out one bad thing for another.
Well, yeah, but I think at the time he was a little bit younger than Mike Douglas.
John Davidson is his huge goddamn teeth and his breck hair.
Yes.
Is John Davidson still alive or is he dead?
I think he's still alive.
Boy, man, John Davidson, boy, you talk about the whitest, blandest guy who has ever lived anywhere. Now, are you saying that John Davidson, he posed with his willy out?
I never actually saw the picture, but I understand that, yes, that was the case.
Were people asking and demanding to see John Davidson nude? That's, for people who are maybe of Sarah's age, seeing John Davidson nude is a little bit like seeing John Tesh nude.
Well,
you know,
this was the 70s. People were dazed and confused.
It was a more innocent time.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Mr. Roper nude.
All right. Thank you, Greg.
All righty.
All right. There you go. Steve may have. Steve? Steve, why are you calling about this? Steve? Steve? All right. Steve is gone. Wait. Is he? Steve?
He's not there, Rick.
He's going through security at this point.
Steve? Steve, are you there? All right, he's not there. All right, it's 503-733-2970. I think we have to break. Scott Daly is here. We come back, we'll talk about the genitals of John Davidson. For no real reason. Okay. Scott Daly will be talking about World Trade Center as we abruptly shift gears to the maudlin and depressing. We'll try to get that top five done as well. Don't forget, coming up next week, snakes on an MFM plane. Tickets. Or ticks, as they say. Don't go anywhere. The Rick Emerson Show rolls on momentarily. More from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth as well. It's 503-733-2970. It is AM 970, Solid State Radio. Never mind then.
Yes.
That's a
never mind
conversation for another time.
5 years. That's not that much.
All right. Sure.
Now.
Why do you say that? Why do you say something on the air that you know I can't respond to? Oh, you're a cruel woman. All right.
It's better than the 10 years from my boyfriend before.
We'll see. Never mind.
Why do you do these things? Why, Helen? Why do you do these things? Harlot. All right. Rick, this email says, I've got Scotty's birthday present in my pants. That's Bob. There you go, Bob. Come on down. Scotty is waiting with bated breath to kiss you on the lips.
And strangely researching Brokeback Mountain.
Scotty's on the internet right now. Well, looking,
as we speak.
Looking, I swear to God this is true, Scotty's on the internet as we speak, looking up Brokeback Mountain quotes. A movie he seems strangely fascinated by and yet unnerved by, as though it touches something deep within him. A hidden facet.
The kissing parts made him scared.
Yes. Shifted uncomfortably in his seat, as though all that he thought he once knew about himself was being challenged. As though it was creating strange and shifting seismic changes within him.
Deep,
all right.
Deep, deep within.
Why is he looking up Brokeback Mountain?
Because he wants to find the I can't quit you quote. He wants it to be perfect. He wanted to know if it was Jack who said it or someone else.
Why? Why is Scotty obsessed with
Scotty J?
Hold on. Let's now find out with the
Scotty J. This is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except
you're not going to amount
Death Squad!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Let's
turn the papers in hand.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there. Hey, happy birthday, by the way.
Well, thank you very much.
We got you nothing. Let's,
we tried for the dancing lady, Scotty.
But apparently, maybe your appetites lie elsewhere. Who knows?
Yes.
Why are you looking up Brokeback Mountain quotes?
Because I wanted to make sure, in case you called me in here and tried to blindside me somehow about the movie, that I was prepared.
Well, no, but this is circular logic. Why would I bring you in to talk about
Brokeback
Mountain?
And when have we talked about Brokeback Mountain?
Because
in the past,
you had
like,
a little smirk on your face when you were out in the lobby.
I'm saying, what? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Do you talk about Brokeback Mountain when
yes,
I'm not around?
All the time. And then we snap each other with towels.
Right after we play poker, it's Brokeback Mountain conversations.
Exactly. Yes. And then we giggle. What?
Well, I was talking about how I got roped into seeing it and really didn't ever want to see it.
Really? That's a strange choice of words.
That movie. I was just kind of held hostage.
Is there a problem with seeing the movie, Scotty?
And you're using a lot of phrases like held and hostage and roped.
I was a little phobic of seeing the movie, let's put it that
way. Where do you live? You live in the suburbs, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Where do you live? What area?
Beaverton.
Scotty, Rick and I were talking about this. Do you go to church every Sunday?
No.
Are you sure? We were betting that you were a religious man.
I did go through church up and through, you know, graduation of
high
school.
Now, what type of religion were you raised in, if I may ask?
Protestant.
Yeah. A white Protestant who lives in Beaverton. And you didn't want to see Brokeback Mountain? I'm astonished.
Protestant.
Uh-huh. And so, anyway, who took you to see Brokeback Mountain? Your wife?
No, we went over
Mrs.
to my
J?
Brother's house.
Is it your friend?
We went over to
friend
my brother's
George?
House.
A long likes time. To touch you and give you lingering hugs?
Here's how I got
roped. Is he a long-term friend?
My brother's girlfriend and my wife said, oh, we're going over to my brother's for dinner, you know, for pizza. And I'm like, all right, I'm in, you know, pizza.
I'm all ma'am.
And movies, right? And I'm like, all right, excellent, movies. And I had been saying, you know, like for months, every time I'd hear a commercial about Brokeback, that I am not going to see that movie. I just don't have any interest in why would I want to pay money to see this type of thing.
Now, why would you
type
not?
Type of thing.
What type of thing is that?
I'm getting really annoyed here, Scott.
No, I'm just...
Scotty J's starting to put his foot in his mouth.
I'm just careful. When you say type of... What type of thing is that?
Storyline. I'm not into
what
cowboys.
What storyline is it? What with
I'm not
people
into cowboys.
And feelings? Well, you're not into cowboys.
No, so that was a smart move. He just... Yeah.
It's a love
a
story, Scotty.
So you're not into feelings of any kind.
God, I was just bawling at the end of that movie.
See, and I actually haven't seen it just because I see so few movies in the theater now. It takes a lot to get me to the theater. And that's
why you don't appreciate Heath Ledger, because if you saw him in that, you would...
It's on my Netflix queue.
Hey, Rick, there's something called a DVD out there.
No, it's on my Netflix queue. No, it's... I haven't consciously avoided it, but it's just the reason I haven't seen... I've talked about this before. It's all that stuff. The idiots at the theater, and it's $10, and it's whatever. If the theaters were all like Cinetopia, though, man, I'd be there all the time. No, it's on my Netflix queue. I just don't have a lot of free time, and, you know, there's so much... I mean, the TiVo and whatever, blah, blah, blah.
I'm just not a big Wild Western guy.
Is it the chaps?
Have
is that what you
seen
don't like?
The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, the Unforgiven.
Because,
Tombstone,
yeah,
Wyatt Earp.
Really, you're at a fork in the road here, Scotty, and there's really no good answer. Because you either avoided it because it contains those people. It contains people who are...
And by that you mean cowboys.
Yes, people who are the cowboy. Or you avoided it because you write off Westerns as a whole. Now, either of those answers is going to get you into trouble on this program.
You need a song?
Have you seen Tombstone?
Yes.
All right, so it's really
so it's not
Western.
It's not Western so much.
Is this because you're afraid of catching the gay? Is that what this
That's
is all
what
about?
Is Protestant God
because the gay is transmitted through radio waves,
it is
DVD
visually
players.
Transmitted, Scotty.
Out there.
Are you afraid that you might enjoy Brokeback Mountain too much?
No, that wasn't it. That wasn't it at all.
Uh-huh.
It's basically, I'd rather watch, you know, Discovery Channel or something.
That's
just
a weird thing
you
to
don't
say.
Watch
what
the
does
Discovery
that mean?
Channel.
I'd rather watch the Discovery Channel.
You just watch Monster Garage.
Let's put it this way, you know, and it's bringing up, you know, backward momentum or whatever. You hate Steely Dan or you just don't like them, right? So just let me finish this comment. And you said, no way you're going to take me to that. Well, that's kind of how I felt about the storyline of this particular.
What is the storyline?
Tell me this. If the storyline of Brokeback Mountain was a quote unquote, in Scotty's terms, a traditional love story, would you have seen it then?
Let me, and is it not also true that Brokeback
quote
Mountain
unquote,
contains?
No. Does because not, I does, took no interest does, in that movie.
Let me ask you this. Does,
yeah, so what about the story didn't appeal to you, Scotty?
And all, especially considering that, to my understanding, no, I will admit that it is still on my Netflix queue. It is not a, something I've seen yet. Is it not true that it contains lots of female nudity and chicks having sex? Mm-hmm. Isn't that true?
There is more female nudity in Brokeback Mountain right. than anything else. Yes.
So what is it about the storyline, Scotty, that you're not into?
Too many babbling brooks in the scenes. Too much you know, nature. I'm just not into.
There's too much nature.
Yeah, you like to watch the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, but you're all about the Discovery Channel.
Can we move on?
No, I would like to find out what lies at the particular bottom of this fear of Brokeback Mountain.
And I'm willing to give up my entire segment for this conversation, so please continue.
We're just going to stare at you awkwardly.
The storyline just...
Okay,
I'm
now
not
please,
into love story. Okay,
let me ask you this.
Way. I'm not into chick flicks.
All right, please... Oh, all right. So let me ask you this. Please now to be describing the storyline of Brokeback Mountain. A storyline which you are so familiar with that you chose to avoid the film based on that storyline.
Well, see, I caught myself drifting off and falling asleep several times, so I couldn't tell you.
No. That's not the question. Obviously, you knew the storyline before you saw the film. Otherwise, the storyline isn't what would have kept you away from the film in the first place.
You're obviously aware of the various twists and turns that the plot takes. That's the only way. By otherwise, it would be what Alcoholics Anonymous would call contempt prior to investigation.
Or concealing, right, that you know the truth or whatever.
Are you concealing some truth from us?
No, I'm not.
What truth
That's
are
what
you
he was
concealing?
Implying.
Did your friend sit a little too close to you on the couch when you were
No, but there is a funny part of this whole story.
Uh-huh.
My brother and his friend was over, too.
Yeah.
They come down from his friend.
Was his friend named Bruce?
Yeah,
did
Bruce.
Did you know him when you were younger?
They come down from upstairs and they're totally dressed in chaps and all that. This is before I knew that they were. No. This is funny.
Whoa.
Okay. Before I knew about the movie. They disappeared for a minute or two, right, to go change, but I didn't know that at the time. And I'm thinking we're going to start these video movies here real soon, so I'm sitting out on the
couch.
Were
you invited to some sort of a swingers party and nobody told you?
No, it was just...
You have to put your keys in the glass bowl when you walk in.
Totally. Totally. Fantastic. You had to go home with Kevin Kline at the end.
I want to hear more about his brother coming down with chaps. All right.
So your brother came down the stairs in chaps.
It was a huge joke because I did not
know what... Were they assless chaps?
No. Was he wearing pants underneath them?
No.
What?
They weren't assless.
Is this how it is?
They weren't assless.
All chaps are assless.
Well, they were just like some kind of the whole getup. Okay, the vest, the leather vest, the cowboy hat, the boots.
What kind of party was this?
No, this is what's so funny about it is because
that's how it is in your family,
Here's how it started. I told my wife I just don't want to spend my time watching the Brokeback movie because she went
the Brokeback movie
with the gays.
She saw it with her friend, and it, you know, I'd rather go see something else. That's all. And
have you ever had a gay person in your house?
In fact, I have a couple. Friends,
some of your best friends are gay.
That were gay.
That were?
Did your Protestant God fix them?
Was Jesus able to help them?
Apparently so. They're married and have 20 children now. No, I haven't talked to a couple of them.
But they're still gay?
For all I know, yes.
Okay.
Unless some miracle happened, I don't know.
Unless some miracle to put them back on the path of righteousness.
No. Each week, getting to know Scotty gets better and better.
You are
better.
In with two shovels right now and about 15 feet underground, my friend.
No, I have no problem.
Would you like a program with Mark Marshall and Kenny Vance?
It's as simple as this.
I want to go back to his pantsless brother wearing assless chaps.
Okay, well, it's as simple as this. I mean, you either like certain storylines or love stories.
You don't
or
know
whatever.
What the storyline is.
I knew it was a love story.
You
I didn't
haven't
care
seen
what
it.
Kind of love story. I just am not into love stories.
I don't like
you've seen from Harry Met Sally.
Love that movie. Just kidding. God. All right. So here's the end of the story. So I'm sitting on the couch. I don't even know what movie we're going to watch. And they come down in these, you know, chaps and spurs outfits with the movie in hand. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I can't believe this. So that, you know, the moment has passed. That's the story.
Okay.
It was funny at the time. Very funny.
Let's see. Let's read a couple of these emails that are coming in.
Whatever. You guys twisted.
That sounded gay just
now. No, you guys turned this stuff around. So
I'm not.
I don't think we twisted this damn thing around.
All right. Let's see. Let's see.
That was Scott Daly that said that.
All right, so Aaron is noting that you either hate Westerns, which makes you a lesser man, or you are afraid of Tagay, as the internet can say, which makes you a small man, says Aaron. Do you need to be held? Do you need to experience that love which dare not speak its name?
And he really needs to finish the story about his brother coming down in the chaps.
Yes.
It's finished.
All right.
They just came downstairs. They put on like a performance or something?
Kind of.
Did Scotty J's uncle touch him a lot when he was growing up? Says this email.
Oh, he's quiet.
No.
That was a long pause there. You sure you didn't have a relative teach you how to kiss?
This has turned into issue topic where in reality it's love stories or do I not like love stories? And that's the deal.
Now see, I don't know any guy. Let me just tell you this. I don't know any guy. And when I say guy, I mean a guy who would just categorically state that he would not watch any movie that was a love story. That's just stupid.
Well, let me put it this way.
That's Braveheart is a love story.
I forget the name now of the movie where that guy is up in Alaska with the bears, you know, Grizzly Man or whatever.
Yeah. Yes.
I watched that twice. Now, if I could go back in time and never watch that movie, I would say I would never watch that movie.
But you watched it twice.
Because it was just on.
It's so confusing.
All right, you make my head hurt.
Okay, good. Can we end this?
All right.
So what kind of performance did your brother and his friend put on?
Well, it was just kind of funny because they posed for a picture because of the comical moment. So they're like,
there's all kinds of comical moments happening here.
It was kind
of
funny.
You seem very awkward and uncomfortable in this whole conversation.
I think he gave us a little too much information. He's trying to backpedal.
Let me ask you this. Just a question. Let me ask you this question. If you had to either...
Oh, God.
If you had to either...
On an island?
No. This is in a living room with a bearskin rug. Hardwood floor.
The spooning or the making
Yes,
out.
Yes,
okay.
this is what we call either or.
You always have the same question.
Because I've designed this question over many years as a radio host because it's a very telling question. I have perfected this question.
All right, ask him.
If you had to either, Scotty, you had to either have full-on screaming gay sex with another man, a man who is, let's say, a solid 7 on the classic 1 to 10 scale.
Ooh.
In a female's mind, right?
I'm saying by an objective standard.
Do you find Johnny Depp a pretty man?
Let me finish the question. If you have the choice, and you are not allowed to do the third grader, I choose neither. You have to do one of these. You either have to have full-on screaming sex with another man. Full-on.
Like being on
flat
the
out.
Island.
No, I'm just serious. Listen to me now. Flat-out sex with another man, but you don't have to kiss or anything. Or, you must, with the same man, cuddle gently nude on a bearskin rug while sipping white wine together.
Probably that one.
You are full-on gay.
Thank you.
You are completely gay.
I think it's better than having the sex with him.
The sex with him?
The sex. Every straight man I know picks the sex over the cuddling.
In a heartbeat.
Every single guy I know that identifies as straight.
Sorry, but
picks
the
sex. You'd rather sit and cuddle a naked
sex,
man.
Dude, you just close your eyes and you get it over with, brother. You know, cuddling stays with you.
You've had time to think about it, but me, on the other hand, I'm thinking
But you choose the cuddling.
It's not a turn on issue.
You choose the cuddling.
That's
and the spooning.
Because the cuddling is less, you know.
Touching his soft, buttery skin.
Sipping white wine.
Sipping white wine while rubbing your feet against his on a bearskin rug in front of a roaring fireplace.
Blow it away, right?
In a ski lodge in Aspen.
Ooh, that sounds great.
While he tousles your hair.
Seems like you've had a lot of time to think
about it. Oh, I have. I've been working on this question forever.
Yeah, he's prepared this for 16
years. I'm completely unashamed. I take the full-on sex any moment.
Not me. I'm not as cool as you.
Let me ask you this. Let me hear another question.
I ain't bedding with a man. I'm sorry.
Did you really just say that?
Is he really our intern?
I'm hearing banjos in my head. You do live in Beaverton.
I do.
Never leave
there.
Never move anywhere else. You wouldn't make it You wouldn't make it on the outside. Let me get a couple of these. Hello, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is John from Portland.
Hi, John. How can I help you?
Let
me bleep that. You're saying does the sex need to complete? Do you need to reach completion? No, this is a, and let me phrase this now. This is,
Oh, we don't need to get
No, I'm just saying, this is a complete, when one man hugs another man in a special way, kind of sex, all the way to the end. This is a complete and total lovemaking experience, all the way towards that moment. That
sounds gay. I'm sorry, but it does.
Because I would think that would take a lot longer, because it would be...
Well, I suppose it all depends. That depends on...
drinking, right?
I'm saying it. I guess it depends on... There are many external factors, probably. But let's...
I'm as heterosexual as the next man.
But?
I would agree with Scotty J. I think I'd rather cuddle than...
You would rather cuddle, really?
Yes, listen.
I wouldn't want to have any...
Careful.
Careful.
Moving on. All right, thank you.
Let's
do one more.
Sounder for someone who says something wrong.
All right. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Sid.
Sid, how are you, sir?
I'm fine. This finely honed question.
Yes.
Pitching or catching?
Your choice.
Oh, well, that makes a difference.
Your choice, but let's assume that... Let's assume that there's no unpleasantness. It is not an uncomfortable or sensation in any way.
What's wrong with you?
I'm curious.
Good plan, Rick.
Through this question, you can
believe
let
me,
hold,
me it's
hold on.
The uncomfortable.
All right, hold on.
I think people are reading too much.
Thank you. Thank you. At the end of this. All right, let me ask Sarah. Sarah, your choice. Woman of your choice, a solid 7 on the classic 1 to 10 scale. Either the full-on lovemaking experience or cuddling and then shopping for aluminum siding.
No, I'd probably do the cuddling.
But that's different. That's your
different.
Chick.
Yeah,
it's totally different.
But see, I was going to say, for women, it's entirely the opposite. Women are exactly the opposite here. Women always choose cuddling. Men, in my experience, were honest with themselves. Yeah. Always choose the sex.
Earlier, you said sipping on white wine and
cuddling,
right?
Yes, on a bearskin rug.
You never specified how much wine that you drink, right?
Not enough.
Therefore, you could, like,
not
pass
enough to
out
be soused.
And be over with.
Well, if you pass out, it's only over for you. We should break now. Let's, and this unpleasantness.
This is the one week that Scott Deli has a movie review for.
Oh, yeah. And it's all gripping and serious, too. Hello. All right, we'll take a break. We're back out of this. Scott Dallas can talk about World Trade Center.
That'll be fun.
That won't be a train wreck segue. All right, don't go anywhere. The Rick Emerson Show continues on AM 970, Solid States Radio. Motorhead. People asking about Scotty J and his history. Does Scotty J tremble when Jack Daniels is breathed under the back of his neck? That's unnerving.
Yeah, okay. Don't read that second
part. I'm not going to read the second part. All right. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Don't forget, next week, giving away tickets to Snakes on an MF'n plane. And so forth. Let's see what else is coming up next week. Peter Carlin going to be back in studio on Monday. And there was something else, but I forget what it is. We had some other happening next week, but I cannot remember what it is. Did Scotty J just say he enjoyed a movie about men and bears? Does Scotty J know what a bear is?
I would guess no.
All right. Okay, now listen to this email. Rick, I was with Scotty at the beginning, not really liking slow love story movies, but after rambling on and on, not even I can help him, and I'm a wasp from Tigard. Wow. Just wow. This email says, and then it finishes with the crucial question, which I never thought of. P.S. Why did his brother have a get up like that anyway?
Fair.
Yeah, who owns a leather vest?
But
seriously.
His brother and his friend.
Don't you have leather chaps outfits upstairs? Yes, I do. They're in a steamer trunk. Let me go get them. All right. We'll do one quick call or two, a couple, and then we'll have Scott, you will talk about and so forth. Dave, hello.
Hey. I'm calling on a totally unrelated subject.
Thank God. Thanks, sweet Jesus.
I didn't really want to get on air, but at any rate.
And here you are.
Is there some kind of garage band contest? I thought I heard a bit that Sarah Dillon.
Band-Aid.
Spot. Oh, yeah?
GarageBand contest? I don't think so.
Oh.
I know that the band's playing this weekend.
I know that who's doing a battle of the band? Safari, I know, and that's not a plug, but I drive by them every night on my way home.
Safari,
to have my truck stolen. Safari is doing a battle of the bands, and maybe the whole chain is doing that. Are they part of Stars?
Are you asking me?
I think they are.
Sarah? You know all about strip clubs.
Rick, I believe they are.
All right, so there's a battle of the bands here, but Sarah does Band-Aid, which is a nightlife band promotion segment that she does every day. So that's kind of what we're talking about.
Oh, okay.
All right.
No, sorry. We
all right.
Help.
Sorry, man.
All right.
Thank you, Dave.
Hey, Scotty J, just don't talk to these guys anymore.
that'll work. All right. Kristen from accounting, hello.
Oh, my God. Okay, really quickly. I didn't even know if you guys did Band-Aid today.
Probably not.
Yeah, no, I promoted your friend's show. Yeah.
Well, because, you know, I wanted to give all the people the word, because I'm actually going to be performing on Saturday night
with Cleveland?
Morgan. So,
really? Well, with Morgan Grace?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
So please do come down to Dante's tomorrow night. It'll be a good time.
All right. Excellent. All right.
Speaking of that, did you get to Weekend Geek this week?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
I played
did.
It yesterday.
Fantastic.
Knowing right. your lack of getting to all of your...
Well, we had important work to do in the last segment. We had
a half hour of Brokeback Mountain discussion.
Well, you know, look, all I'm saying is,
I think we learned a lot about Scotty J in the last few
minutes. I think sometimes what people do not reveal reveals a whole lot. That's all I'm saying. There's a whole lot. Look, I haven't seen it because it just didn't seem like... I mean, it was
did
like...
Did you meet another cuddler in the hallway, too?
Well, you know, let me cleanse your palate by inviting all of the Rick Emerson and listeners to come on out and help me sing Bad Reputation on Saturday night.
Are you gonna kiss Stephanie?
You know, stay tuned. Who
Fantastic.
Knows?
What happened?
Maybe
Excellent.
We'll put on some leather chaps.
Oh, yeah. See, my brain feels better already.
See,
all right.
I'm here to help.
Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you.
All right. We're here with Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com.
For the next listener party, Scotty J has to borrow his brother's
Seriously, he has to wear that outfit.
Wear that.
All right.
And I want to see someone related to him, too.
Okay.
You say that as though, like, you suspect that, like, he's the first generation to walk upright or something.
His knuckles aren't on the ground.
Seriously. Like, he's the DeVito half. Hi, Scott.
Hi.
Let's talk about 9/11.
Okay, well, that's a great idea.
Well, you saw World Trade Center.
I did see World Trade Center.
Sarah has a friend that's in that.
Yes, and he did a
Gary
fine job.
Baumgarten from CNN has talked about it a lot. Is it open now? Is it playing?
It opened 2 days ago, Wednesday the 9th.
I got to tell you right now, and speaking of movies you have no interest in seeing, I don't mean this as a judgment on anything, on Oliver Stone, on whatever. I got to tell you right now, I feel the way about that movie the way I felt about, I forget what it even was now. There was 9/11, where I was just sort of like, why do I want to subject myself to what seems like it will be very depressing?
It is not a very depressing film. It's an emotional film. It's hard to sit through at times, but it's not depressing. When the film is over, you kind of get that same feeling that I think the whole country got, you know, a week or so following 9/11. We were all united. We were all one. We were attacked. We need to do something about this. We know that feeling of camaraderie. What makes the film really well done, one, it's an Oliver Stone film, but you watching it, you wouldn't know it's Oliver Stone.
It doesn't have his ham-handed, Spike Lee-esque.
Not at all. Yeah. Not at all. Also, number two, you know, I mean, obviously you know exactly what happened, but,
sure.
But when you put yourself in the film, you know exactly what the characters know. The Port Authority police officers are on the way from the bus terminal to the World Trade Center to help evacuate people
right.
out of there. They say, "Oh, a commuter plane hit the first tower.
Right.
Oh, another plane hit the second tower. No, it's just debris and stuff from the first tower."
Is it a little like Titanic in that you sort of know the outcome, but the film? Because I remember watching Titanic and actually forgetting for a while that the iceberg hits the iceberg, and it, you know, they're all happy and they're cuddling, and then there's iceberg right in, and I'm like, oh god, I forgot all about
it. Well, kind of, because the first plane hits the tower a good, like, the first 10 minutes into the film.
Mm-hmm.
And the first half hour of the film is Nicolas Cage and his crew getting to the first to building one and trying to start the evacuation process, which is a very surreal moment because they've recreated what the inside of the commerce of the World Trade Center looks like, and so that's very, very hard to watch. And then you're hearing things dropping on the ceiling from above.
Somebody told me the sound design of the movie was just terrifying.
It is. It's horrifying because you know what that sound is dropping
right.
from above.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that's really a little unsettling. And then when the building starts to collapse, you know, these two men who are trapped underneath this thing for 12 hours, they don't know what's going on.
Is this Michael Pena? Is he
Michael
the other?
Michael Pena and then Nicolas Cage.
Okay,
yeah,
and where do I know Michael Pena from?
He was in a season of The Shield.
Oh, he was the guy. Okay, yeah, I do know. Yeah. He was Shane's partner.
Exactly,
okay,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so when they're finally, and I'm not giving anything away here because we know these two are rescued. When they're rescued, when Michael Pena's character is rescued, he's pulling out and he goes, where are the buildings? You know, so this whole time you have no idea what's so going on. Crazy. It's a very, very well done film, very respectful of not only the event that happened. There's no politics.
Is it a lot
involved.
Of flag waving?
No.
And
not
again,
at all.
You know, everybody
not
knows I'm all. Like a super patriot, but I just don't need to sit through
again,
some of
because,
that.
Again,
you know?
Because we're in it exactly as it happens.
You so know, wait, there's no after effect.
You don't know what's
going
on.
Is, that,
what
is
happens,
it almost real time?
Yeah,
more or less.
Bit, more or less.
But it's like they don't do the like, and now a year later.
You know, they do 2 years later when finally these guys are finally recovered and they all get together again.
But there's no.
But there's no, you know, what's going on in Iraq or anything like that.
You know,
it's very well done. Very, very.
Is George W. Bush or any kind of president featured?
There is a small part where Bush is talking to the U.S. To the audience, but that's really about it.
All right.
So there's no politics at all involved, which is really, really good, especially for Oliver Stone, because we don't need a 9/11 political film. We need a film to remind us of that day, not necessarily that day, but the feeling that we had that we were all coming together. Because there's a scene in the film where everyone around the world, they go to Afghanistan, they go to Russia, to China, the people watching this and crying right. and just being
well,
so emotional.
It's easy
it
to sort of become really jaded about it and kind of
it
forget
really
how we were all, you know, sort of, it sounds cheesy, but you know, all kind of united.
And which is why I think it's important to see this film because you kind of get that feeling back again. Well, you know, after all the crap that's been gone on since then.
And the divisiveness of the war.
Yeah.
And well, okay, well, you know what, I will see it based on that.
Very
based
good.
On your, on, and I'm, you know, I like Oliver Stone.
Yeah.
Real quickly, we got to grab mailman Chris here. Let's welcome. Now, let me see if I can find the. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Postman is a person in your neighborhood.
There's more life affirming humor from the Rick Emerson Show. All right, where are we, brother?
Well, I lost your signal for a little bit, so bear with me. But I don't believe you got it's the clergy turn, watch or the zombie watch.
No, sadly, we did not.
Okay, you did get the snuff watch. You got to Nanette Sosa, Bob Constantine.
Wait, you lost our signal for us? No, I got to the zombie watch and the top five and everything.
I can check with Dan in Live Journal if
all
I need
right,
to.
Thank you.
And Fatboy was there with the awesome take on MSN plane.
It's true. All right, and we will be doing that next week.
So that puts you at 46.
Jesus. God. All right. Thank you, sir.
You know what? Sex on a plane might be good.
At the beginning of every show.
Yeah, I know. All right. Have a good weekend, Chris.
You too.
Thank you.
Monday.
All right. There you go. All right, filmfeverradio.com. And you guys have got Snakes on a Plane swag as
we
well.
We have Snakes on a Plane swag we're going to give away next week. And our new episode of Film Fever Radio, the first half of the show is all about World Trade Center. But the second half is more goofy fun.
Excellent.
So it's a great episode this week. We've got DVD news. We got film news. We talk a little bit about, I forgot. But it's good.
Stuff.
We recorded like
see
3
Brick.
Days
have
ago,
you seen so. Brick?
No, but I want
see
to
it.
It's on my Netflix. Number
see
one on my
Brick.
Netflix. Excellent.
All right. We rolling here? All right, the Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. If you got Band-Aid information, if you are a band, you're a guy, you're a musician, you're rocking, you're doing whatever, email her. It is Sarah at 970.am. Sarah at 970.am. We want to thank Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com, CNN Radio correspondents Bob Costantini and Nanette Sosa today. And we want to thank Fatboy from Court and Fatboy on KUFO 6 to 9 evenings. And Scotty J, so much more than an intern. And really, that phrase has never meant more than it has today. Manager of the Rick Emerson Office East, Dave Zinn, and News Overlord, Minister of Information, Tim Riley. Like us next, Donna Mike at 7. We'll see you all on Monday at noon. Next week, Snakes on an MFM plane. Thanks for listening to Les Bastards Granny Downs. Bye.
One big fiesta for healing the lane from homosexuals.